Well, we had a very successful Trojan Day Saturday a week ago, and certainly brought about the unity we were working for, and even made some money along the way. So thanks to all who worked so hard to do that and everybody who participated. One funny thing that happened, one of the guys leading it had said to two other guys, go and get this four-wheeler at this man's house. I know he'll let you use it. And there's a riding lawnmower right in front of it. Just move that and take the four-wheeler. And so the guys went to the very address that the man had given them. Now, the man who gave the orders didn't know that his friend had moved. So these two guys are going to somebody's house, and there was a riding lawnmower in front of the four-wheeler, just like he said, you know. So they moved that. The people are looking through the window from the house, calling the police. And so they put the four-wheeler on the trailer and took off. And luckily, the police didn't catch him. Otherwise, they would have had a hard time explaining what was going on. But they got their four-wheeler back 2 weeks later, and everything was explained and no problems. But the police did catch the juvenile that had broken into the cars last week or so, 2 weeks ago. And so hopefully he learned his lesson. So thanks to the police for that. Now, usually, I don't get to preach about the saints on the Sundays because, you know, Sunday does take precedence. And I always usually do it on the weekdays whenever there is a saint feast day. Well, today would be the feast of Saint Augustine. And I'd like to preach on his life because he has affected so much of not just the Catholic Church, but Western civilization itself has been influenced by his thought and his writings, that so many writings that are still left for us today. Austin is a popular name these days, and that is an English version of Augustine. And I'd like to connect his life with our first reading today, Sirach chapter 3, which talked about humility. To say, first of all, he started out as a pride-filled young man, but he learned humility. But he always did, as Sirach said, search for truth and wisdom. That was something he was always searching for. And his whole life, even though he lived in the 300s and the 400s, has a very contemporary feel to it and appeal as well. Because so many things that happened in his life are things that happen in our lives today. And so he wrote a book about his conversion experience called The Confessions. And it's still a popular book today. I remember reading it myself and connecting with his life in many ways because it's the story of a prodigal son. And my older brother, who is a priest, likes to call me the prodigal son of the family, which is true compared to him. And except, however, he's the one that ran away at the age of 10, said there were too many rules in the house. So he packed his suitcase full of socks. I guess he thought he was going to be walking for a long time. And mother was petrified, of course, but dad said, let him go. So he went down the road to a neighbor's house, a friend's house, and came back later that night and said, I'll just be staying the night here and I'll be leaving in the morning. And of course, in the morning, there was no more heard from that. So funny things that happen in our lives. But we heard from Sirach chapter 3, the first words were, my child, conduct yourself with humility. And it makes me think of his mother, who is also a saint, Saint Monica. And her feast day was yesterday. Not too many mother-son saints teams that we have. And she was a mother of many tears. She prayed and cried for the conversion of her son for some 20 years. And she saw no answer to her prayers. But thank goodness she persevered. But she did complain to a bishop that she knew, and he said, do not worry, Monica, the son of so many tears will not perish. The son of so many tears will not perish. And he was prophetic, because when the grace hit Augustine, it really turned him around, and he became a great saint in the church. And you'll see his sinful life that he led, and yet, by the grace of God, he became a great saint. So there's hope for all of us sinners to become saints in the eyes of God. And so his mother was Catholic, and he was born in northern Africa, what would be Algeria today. And his father was a pagan, and was a violent man, and they suffered because of that. But he too was converted through Monica's prayers. Right before he died, he converted and he was baptized. So Augustine was a catechumen of the church. He had not been baptized yet. There was an erroneous part of the world there where they were delaying baptism till right before death sometimes, and that was not a good thing. But he was a catechumen, so officially he was part of the church. And he loved Jesus, Augustine did, hearing it from his mother, all the stories about Jesus our Lord. And he truly did love our Lord. But as he grew up, he strayed from the Lord and from the church morally and intellectually. He was a smart kid, but he didn't apply himself. How many of our kids are like that, right? He'd rather go out and play. Most kids want to play, right? And so he didn't apply himself very well. But at the age of 17, he did move to Carthage in present-day Tunisia, and he became a teacher. And Sirach 3 said, the mind of a sage appreciates proverbs. And so he's always interested in the truth and what the truth is. But he really did all of this for vanity and for pride and for ambition. And he wanted glory. He lived with a woman and had a child out of wedlock. And he was not so impressed with the scriptures. He was impressed with Cicero and some of these great orators and philosophy. But he said the scriptures was too simple for him. Didn't seem to have this deep meaning. And so he fell into different heresies of the day, different philosophies like Manichaeism that tried to say that there's an equal power of good and an equal power of evil, which is untrue. God is all powerful and he is all good. He has created everything good, but he has also created free will. And from free will, evil has come about to some degree, but it is not equal in any way to God himself. And eventually he became disillusioned even with Manichaeism. So he went to Rome and eventually Milan and northern Italy, and there he heard the preaching of St. Ambrose. He had heard he was a great orator and that he was very eloquent, and so he wanted to hear him so he could imitate just his ability to speak. He wasn't interested in the words and the meaning of what he was saying. But as he listened to Ambrose more and more, it started to touch his mind and his heart. And he realized that the church that he had been a catechumen of was the true church of Jesus our Lord. And so he started to make his way back to the Lord. But one thing kept him away from the Lord, which was lust. And so he prayed very truthfully, Lord, give me chastity, but not yet, later. And so he suffered with that. And finally, he was in a garden one day with his friend Alypius, and he just fell to the ground and said, how long, Lord, how long will I be in this miserable state? And he heard a child say, take up and read, take up and read. And so his friend was reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. So he picked it up, and the first words that came to him were Romans 13:13, where it says, let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and licentiousness, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. And so this was an actual grace right there at that moment that touched his heart. And he knew that now was the time. And so he told his mother, and she was very overjoyed, as you can imagine, so many years of praying and finally seeing some response to this prayer, a breakthrough here. And he did lots of prayer and penance and prepared for his baptism, which took place at the Easter Vigil in the year 387 by St. Ambrose, and Augustine's 15-year-old son was baptized with him as well. His mother died about 3 months later. His son died not too long after that. He went back to Africa, was ordained a priest against his will, and then a bishop. And he was a great bishop and pastor of that diocese of Hippo in Algeria today. And for 35 years, he fought against the various heresies of the day. He took care of the poor, like we heard in the gospel, invite them to your table. He did that, fed the poor, and he grew in a life of true humility. And as I said, we have lots of his, hundreds of his letters, sermons, and lots of books that he wrote. One book that he wrote was on the Holy Trinity. And before he wrote it, he was meditating on that theme, walking down the beach one day, Northern Africa, so on the Mediterranean Sea, and he spotted a boy that was going from the water to the beach. He had dug a hole in the beach, and he had a little shell, and he was picking up the water and pouring it into that hole. And Augustine asked the little boy, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm trying to pour that ocean into that hole." And Augustine said, "That's impossible. You can't do that." And the little boy said to him, "And neither is it possible for you to fully understand the Holy Trinity." And the boy disappeared. And Augustine knew right away this was an angel of God that had come to tell him that you cannot fully understand this mystery of the Trinity. Yes, he wrote a whole book on it. You can say a lot of things about the Trinity, but you can't fully understand it. You'd have to be God himself to do that, and none of us are God. And so we'll spend all of eternity in heaven learning more and more about God and never fathom the depth of God's glory. Pope Benedict had on his coat of arms had a shell as a symbol of that, a tribute to St. Augustine, and so many of his writings influenced by Augustine as well. Towards the end of his life, there were many problems that he had to deal with in his diocese, not least of which were the Vandals. Speaking of somebody vandalizing our cars, well, the Vandals were barbarians from Northern Europe. They swept down into Northern Africa and were destroying everything in their path. And that's where we get the word vandalism from, right? It was a group of people. And so they besieged his town. And in the third month of that siege, he caught a fever and died. Eventually, the town was overrun. And even all of Catholicism was lost eventually, a few hundred years later, in all of Northern Africa. And so he died on August the 28th, this day, in the year 430. The first page of his book, The Confessions, has the most famous phrase that came from his lips. It said, "Our heart is restless until it rests in you, O Lord." And so he learned that until we get to heaven, we'll never be fully satisfied here on earth. Never be fully satisfied. Only in heaven can we do that. But we can have a lot of satisfaction, of course, right here at the Holy Eucharist as God comes to dwell within us. The Mass that he, as a priest and a bishop, celebrated and preached and lived so much. And so let us try to continue following along the path of humility, of conversion, the lifelong project, until we can finally enter into heavenly glory. St. Augustine, pray for us. Amen.